So I've entitled the message, Perfect Peace. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would use your word in our hearts this evening. We give you this time and pray you'll be glorified. Pray you'll give us wisdom. And Lord, that you'll meet with us in this room now. And Lord, that the word of God would truly have free course in every heart. And you would meet the needs of your people. And your will would be done in our lives. We ask that we can hear from you tonight, Lord. We love you. We give this time to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. We ask this. Amen. So, very well-known passage, very beautiful passage in God's Word this evening. But Isaiah is speaking on behalf of Israel, and they're looking forward to what is yet to come. We've already seen many of the prophecies here in Isaiah about the coming kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is another one of those times when they're looking ahead and saying, one day we'll be able to enter into the kingdom. As we see there, open ye the gates in verse 2. In that day, verse 1, shall this song be sung. That day hasn't come yet. They are not singing right now, we have a strong city. They're not singing, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. They're not singing that right now, but they will. There will come a day when Israel will be granted the kingdom. In the midst of waiting, in the midst of looking ahead, God gives what we should be doing in the meantime. What they should be doing and what we should be doing is focusing on God. And that is what this passage is all about. He says there in verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Well, Israel doesn't have peace right now. And the believer doesn't have external peace either. We live in a wicked world. We live in our flesh, which gives us troubles. The devil's after us. But we can always have internal peace. And that's what God is talking about here. He's not talking about external peace. That won't come until the Prince of Peace comes and sets up his kingdom on the earth. As we saw in Isaiah 9 and Isaiah 11, God is going to set up a wonderful kingdom. It'll be a peaceful kingdom, but that doesn't happen until the Prince of Peace is here. In the meantime, in the midst of this wicked world with the devil after us, we can still have perfect peace. But that peace, again, is the internal peace that we sing about. It is well with my soul. The peace that the world doesn't understand. And God has a lot to say about this. This peace that is available to His children. Now God tells us, if you go to Isaiah 57, that this peace isn't available to everyone. This perfect peace. Notice in Isaiah 57 and verse 21, God says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So the unsaved, they can't have this peace. It's not available. And by the way, a Christian who's not living for God, it's not available to them either. A Christian who's backslidden and is living a wicked life, they can't have perfect peace. But perfect peace is what God offers to every believer in Jesus Christ. Jesus talked about this. If you look at John chapter 14, please. He was about to depart through the crucifixion and then the resurrection, the ascension here in John 14. This is the time he set aside with his disciples there in that upper room, chapters 13 to 17 of John. And in the midst of that, Jesus talks about peace. Notice John 14, verse 27. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. They're about to face amazing persecution and attack. We read about it through the book of Acts. And Jesus is telling them, I'm about to leave you with a peace. Not like the world gives. This is a different kind of peace. This is peace from God. And it's only available from God. Go over to chapter 16 of John while we're in John. And he said it again here in verse 33. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So even Jesus says, you're going to have tribulation. And if you've been saved a while, you know this is true. We're going to have tribulation in this world. And it's never going to end until we leave through death or the rapture. But Jesus says, in the midst of this tribulation, we can be reminded, Jesus has already overcome the world. We've already won. If we're born again, we're on the winning side, and we can have this peace. But notice he says there in verse 16:33, in me. This peace comes from the Lord directly. This isn't something that we generate ourselves. It's something that God gives to his children when they're where they need to be. Another verse that we know well, go to Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. Most of you probably know this one by heart. But again, we're talking about the peace of God, this perfect peace. There's a lot of different pieces in the Bible. There's the peace that was made through Calvary between God and man. And then there is the peace that we're to have with one another. We're supposed to have unity with our brothers and sisters, and we're supposed to get along with each other. Then, of course, there's world peace, which is what the world talks about all the time, which isn't going to happen until the Prince of Peace comes. This peace is different than all of those peace. This is internal. This is what God gives. Notice Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This isn't peace with God. That took place at Calvary. This is the peace of God. And this is the perfect peace that is being spoken about here in Isaiah that is available to those whose mind is stayed on Him. Now, this passage in Philippians talks about that too, doesn't it? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, give it to God, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. If we'll give it to Him, if our minds will be focused on Him, God's promised peace. Not just any peace, but perfect peace. And by the way, I looked it up, and I believe this is the only time in the Bible this phrase is given. This phrase, perfect peace, is in Isaiah 26:3. It's a beautiful thing, this peace of God. And God has promised it to all of His children. If you would look at Psalm 119, 165, I want to show you that this peace is connected to the Word of God as well. Now, that's not surprising. Psalm 119, verse 165. It's not surprising because the Bible says it's available to those whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Well, how's our mind stayed on God but through His Word? That's how we learn about God. And we're told to meditate in His Word and memorize His Word. And it is through His Word that we focus our minds on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So we've read about perfect peace and the peace of God. This is called great peace. A little side note there. Nothing shall offend them. Christians get offended all the time. Maybe they don't love the law. Because God says nothing shall offend those who have the great peace that comes from loving the Lord's Word. Great peace. So God has promised in His Word here, thou wilt keep him. God won't only give this perfect peace, but we can stay in it. But it's an if-then promise, isn't it? Let's go back to Isaiah 26:3 and see. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. It's a beautiful promise. Peace is something that the world is looking for. Peace is something that believers are after. But God says, whose mind is stayed on thee. And so the peace is available. Matter of fact, it is one of the fruit of the Spirit there in Galatians 5, is it not? Love, joy, peace. But fruit of the Spirit, who's the Spirit? It's God. This peace is available to those whose mind is stayed on the Lord. That is a conscious decision on our part, is it not? That is not automatic. I wish it was. I wish we could just flip a switch and say, from this day forward, my mind is going to be stayed on God. It doesn't work like that. Because the devil is after our thought life. Our flesh is constantly trying to affect our thought life. And so to keep our mind stayed on the Lord, that's a conscious effort. It's something we have to physically and emotionally and spiritually and mentally do all the time to keep our minds stayed on the Lord. Look at Romans 8, if you would. And God talks about being spiritually minded. He says here, whose mind is stayed on thee. Notice Romans 8, 6, if you would, where God says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. What's that mean, spiritually minded? Well, I think God's given us a clue. Whose mind is stayed on the Lord? Whose mind is stayed on the Lord's word? Great peace have they which love thy law. It's a choice to be spiritually minded. And if we're spiritually minded, God has promised perfect peace. You know, we looked at that passage recently in 2 Corinthians 10 about casting down imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Why do we have to do that? Why do we keep having to cast down imaginations? Why do we keep having to cast down every high thought? Why do we keep having to bring every thought into captivity? Because it's a constant battle with the devil, with our flesh, trying to pull our thoughts away, whose mind is stayed on thee. Remember when we walked through Ephesians recently, the Bible talked about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Our mind, it's a battlefield. God says that if our mind is stayed on Him, perfect peace is available. Whose mind is stayed on thee, go back to our verse, he finishes in this verse by saying, because he trusteth in thee. Sounds like those two things go together. Keeping our mind stayed on the Lord and trusting the Lord. And of course they do. And what is our tendency? Trust ourselves. To be self-sufficient. Our tendency is to trust man. Things we can see and touch and feel. God says no. Because he trusteth in thee. And then he expounds on that in verse 4 and says, trust ye in the Lord forever. Trust the Lord. Don't trust yourself. And this is a theme in the Old and the New Testament, is who we're trusting is who our mind is stayed on or focused on. And the Bible talks about it over and over. Let's look at a couple verses. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Most of you know this verse. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. With all thine heart. Now that's a challenge, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. God says, because he trusteth in thee, trust ye in the Lord with all thine heart. What did Job say? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. In Job 13:15. What did he mean? I'm going to have trials. I'm going to have tribulations. I'm going to have problems. I'm still going to trust God. And God says, if we'll trust in him, our mind will be focused on him, and perfect peace is available. The Bible says, if you go to Psalm 125, verse 1, that this trust in the Lord gives us a firm foundation upon which God can give us peace. Psalm 125, notice verse 1. The Bible says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Mount Zion. Mount Zion's always been representative of God's city. Mount Zion will be restored on earth in Jerusalem during the kingdom, and it's currently God's throne in heaven. But God says that Mount Zion is what our what we will be like if we trust Him. We'll be stable. We'll be on a firm foundation that can't be moved. Why? Because we're trusting in the Lord. Because our mind is stayed on Him. Because He can give us that perfect peace. And then He, to drive the point home here in Isaiah 26:4, He says, "And the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Now, you know that when you see the word Lord in King James Bible, if it's in all caps, the Hebrew word there is Jehovah. The King James translators did that for us to make it easier. Because sometimes you'll see Lord and it's not all caps, and then it'll be a different word, like Adonai or Elohim. But if you see all caps, L-O-R-D in the King James, the Hebrew word there is Jehovah. But to drive the point home, in this particular case, God wanted us to get it and specifically said the Lord Jehovah. That name Jehovah means the self-sufficient one. When God said to Moses, "I am that I am. I don't need any help. I've always been. I am everything. I have all power. I have all strength." And what does He say? That in Him is everlasting strength, which is why we should trust in Him. Go to Jeremiah 17, where again, the Bible makes it clear that trust is what it comes down to. Well, think about it. If we're not trusting the Lord, what are we saying about His strength? We're saying that our strength is a better option. That's the truth of the matter. Kind of like this morning's message. When we're disobeying God, we're saying through our actions, "I don't love God." When we're not trusting the Lord, we're saying through our actions, through our decisions, "God isn't of everlasting strength. My strength is more sufficient in this particular situation," which is really kind of blasphemous if you think about it. Notice Jeremiah 17:7. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord." There it is, all caps again. "That trusteth in Jehovah, and whose hope the Lord is." Comes down to this matter of trust. Whose mind is stayed on Thee. This is a battle that we're going to face every day. But it's a battle that we can win. By choosing to focus, to stay our minds on God each day. Unfortunately, we can't say, "Today it went well, it's all good, that means tomorrow it'll be fine." It doesn't work like that. It's something we have to do every day. Paul said, "I die daily." Every day we need to consciously be in the Word of God. We need to consciously be on our knees. We need to be consciously staying our minds on the Lord Jehovah, who has everlasting strength. In return, what does God promise? Perfect peace. So if we don't have perfect peace in our hearts, whose fault is it? It's not God's. He's already promised perfect peace. So if we don't have perfect peace in our hearts, it's our fault. Our mind isn't stayed on the Lord. We're not trusting in the Lord Jehovah who has everlasting strength. We're trusting something else. We're focusing our mind on the wrong things. But it's there. Perfect peace. Not just any peace. Perfect peace. Something we should all desire and want every single day of our Christian lives. Perfect peace. Stay our mind on Him. Trust in the Lord Jehovah who has everlasting strength, and He's promised it to every believer. Perfect peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. The great peace have they which love His law. It's available to God's children. Praise God that we serve such a loving Father who makes these things available to His children. But He's given us a free will, and it's our decision each day. Where am I going to stay my mind? Who am I going to trust? God or man? And that will determine the peace for the day, if you will. who we trust, who we stay our minds on. Perfect peace is available. Let's pray. Lord,